Well, good morning, family. My name's Ken. I'm one of the Sunday school teachers here. And if I start to wander around, it's because I strained my back this week, and apparently my back no longer wants to hold up my front. But here we are. And if you take a moment to just follow the path of your life that brought you here this morning, you will discover that it is totally different than anybody else's. The things you've seen, the things you've learned, the things you've heard, the things you've experienced make you you, and you're unique. And you have insights and things that you know that other people don't. And so when we come together, part of the reason we come together is to be able to help each other grow. But you also have your own perspective on life, the way you see things. And that includes when you're interacting with Scripture. There will be a favorite verse, maybe a favorite story, maybe a favorite hymn, and they won't all be the same. But there will be something that will resonate with you. And today we're going to look at some of the things that resonate with me, because I can only speak from my own experience. So we have a verse, and it is 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. For the past 40-some years, I have been part of what is now affectionately called the death care industry in Ontario. As a manager of a local cemetery, I have on occasion been asked to do just that, to give an answer to people who have asked me to offer something to them. And every family is different. When a family comes and gathers, I ask them if there's going to be clergy, and more often than not, these days they say, no, we're not religious. And there was one case where the family insisted on having a chaplain. We need to have a chaplain there. When she got there, they told her she was not supposed to mention God. So, and she said, I don't know what to do. And I said, well, just talk about the eternal nature of love. When Peter wrote this, he was trying to tell his followers that you need to have a solid foundation for what you believe. If you hope for something, there has to be a reason. There has to be a solid foundation for that. Otherwise, it's just a wish, or maybe, you know, something that you would like to have happen, or a guess, but you need to have a solid foundation. And this family wanted the clergy there, and I got the impression that they were thinking that it was the person that they had invited to come that was the source of offering them hope that they did not have in themselves. But that's not where the source is. Scripture tells us that God is the source. God has placed eternity in our hearts. And so we have to look to God, or love, as the expression of hope. The hope for the Christians is based on the resurrection of Jesus. And as Paul says, because Jesus rose, we will too. And that's the hope, and that's the anchor. And you need to have that solid foundation, because it's easy to have hope when everything is going well. It is another thing to have hope when everything's going wrong. It is that hope that doesn't stop things from happening, but it's that hope that brings you through to the other side. And so often when I'm asked, there's a couple of verses that I like to share with families, Romans 8 and Psalm 139, it says basically, there is nothing in the universe, not even death itself, that can separate us from being wrapped in God's love. But when you're grieving, you may not feel that love. You may not even think God cares, or maybe he's just cruel. But there are two places that you should know that God loves you. And the first is you should know it through his people. Because we've been called to be reflections of God in the world. And so whether you're grieving or you have anything else that you're going through, God's people should be surrounding you with his love. And quite often, God's people seems to be the worst place to find that. And I'm sorry if that's happened to you. I know that interactions with other people aren't always easy, but God's people should always be a source of love for you. And the second is simple. This is how God loves you. He gave his only son that if you exercise belief in him, you will never cease to be. Doesn't stop you from grieving. But it tells us that the separation that we experience that is called the sting of death is only temporary. And that is the hope. That's what keeps us going. We're separated, but it's only temporary. And we will be reunited. And often, non-religious committals say the same thing. You know, they're with their loved ones. They're gone to a better place. But they're wishing. You know, they're not hoping because they don't have that basis. They don't have that solid foundation that Jesus died and rose, so we will too. And all you need to know that God loves you as an anchor is simply, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's the foundation. And Paul says, we grieve, but we don't despair, we don't distress. Not like those who have no hope. That's not us. We're not like that. But there's another hope that's been on my mind for a long time, and it's a present hope. It's a hope that we have now that we may not even know that we hope for. And we've probably already, all of us have probably said this or heard this, and it's simply, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You may ask me, how is that possible? Thank you. Well, I am glad you asked because you could be here the rest of the day. Okay, so John 14 says that the Spirit will remind you of everything that Jesus taught us. Right? That was the promise. Now, to me, that's a conditional promise. When I'm gone, the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything that I taught you. Now, that's a conditional, to me, it's a conditional promise. Anybody want to know why I think it's conditional? Why? Anybody have a guess? Anybody? Why would that be conditional? One's based on the other, that's right. That's much better than what I had. That's why we're all here. So I find it conditional because I don't believe that you can be reminded of something that you've never learned. Okay, and I'll give you an example. Okay, so on Facebook, there's this farm in Scotland, and they broadcast when things happen on the farm, and they have a following, and they got this new donkey, baby donkey. I don't know what a baby donkey's called. A colt. Okay, so they got this colt, and they wanted the Facebook community to name it. And so the farmer said, well, I'll help you out. The father's name is Buddy. So what do you think they called the colt? I can wait around the clock until I get the right answer. Buddy,
two.
Pardon?
Buddy two.
No, not Buddy two. I can wait. No, not Buddy Junior. You guys are a lot younger than I thought you would be. Buddy Holly. That's right. So, the young farmer was there, and he was looking like, he had this blank look on his face, kind of like I get when Judy asks me to do something. And it's just like, he didn't know who Buddy Holly was, so he couldn't make that connection. It's like, I have no idea what you're talking about, because he never learned who Buddy Holly was. So you cannot remember things you've never been taught. So what we want to do is we want to integrate the teachings of Jesus and the lessons of Scripture into our lives so that when we need to be reminded of something, we can be. And how this has worked in my life, I'll give you one example. And it may not work for you. It may, you know, you may discover that it doesn't work for anybody except me. Okay. I manage a cemetery. My business mind says what I want to do is maximize profits and minimize workload. Common business practices. Okay, so that's on the one hand. On the other hand, I am dealing with vulnerable people. I consider them. And there are, well, what are some of the emotions you go through when you're grieving? Sadness, fear. The biggest one that I hear is loneliness. But, you know, some people are in shock. They don't know what they're doing. Well, I had a businessman say to me, you know, these people are pretty well ripe for the picking. I can tell them anything. I can steer them in a direction that I want them to go. And so if I think maximize profits, minimize workload, what I'm listening for is opportunities to do that in their conversations. But when that happens, I'm reminded of my favorite verse, Romans chapter 12. It says, and I'm going to paraphrase all the rest of these verses. It says, don't think like the world thinks, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that God's will can be done on earth. And so I have to change my thinking. I have to start patiently listening to what they need so that I can give them the best advice with the information they give me. So my mind changes. And that's when the yabbats come in. Yabbats are always, yabbats are things that show up. Most of the time when I want to do something that Jesus would like me to do, a yabbat shows up. And you may call it something else, but a yabbat is, yeah, but we're running a deficit. So, yeah, but they're not going to know that I'm steering them in any direction. Yeah, but if I tell them this, then I have to do this thing, which I have basically hated doing for the last 40 years. So I'm going to steer them away from me having to do that. And when the yabbats show up, I'm reminded of a story in Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar had come along, and he said, I'm going to build a big statue of me. And so he builds a statue, and he says, every time the horn blows, everybody bow down to the statue. And these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they say, I don't think that's going to happen. And so the king says, well, anybody that doesn't, this is my favorite story, anybody that doesn't do what I tell them is going to get thrown into a fire furnace alive. And so these guys say, well, king, here's the thing. We know that our God can save us from the fire. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow down. Even if he doesn't, we will not bow down. And the story goes on. You can read it in Daniel chapter 3. And so let me paraphrase that story. Regardless of the consequences, I refuse to take advantage of vulnerable people to make a few extra bucks. And that's how God works in me, reminding me of the things that he said. So what this does, it allows me to control the yeah buts and get them out of the way, which gives me a sense of peace, kind of gives me patience to deal with the family. It gives them, hopefully, in that small frame that we're together, a time to relax and be peaceful and realize they're not being ripped off. Often that shows up later when they talk about it as kindness. Another word that's used is goodness, which is moral honesty, integrity. So we have these words that start floating around. Patience, self-control, peace, kindness, goodness. Do those things remind you of anything? The fruit of the Spirit, that's right. So here you are, listening to Jesus, being reminded of things he said, and the result is the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, whether they even know it or not. And you know what Wilford was saying a few weeks ago about the riches that we have in this world, those are some of the riches that we have, the fruit of the Spirit. To be able to be kind and patient in a world that doesn't want to do either of those things. And so the result of being reminded of the teaching of Jesus and the lessons of Scripture is God's will done on earth. Amen. Now, if you think that I think that I've got it all sorted out, forget everything I said. And I will tell you why. Being the finely tuned athlete that I am, I was doing some interval training in Little Lake Park along the path, and interval training requires a timer. And so I went down, I got down by where the boat launch is, and there was this guy, and he was having a real hard time trying to get this boat off of the top of his a car. And I passed by on the other side because I was busy. I was on a timer. Does that remind you of any story? Some parable, maybe one of the good ones? Anybody? Nobody? The parable of the Good Samaritan, yes. And you know what I discovered? Some days I am not a Samaritan. And so I went, I just kept going. And then I was reminded that if I don't do the things that Jesus taught me, I'm just deceiving myself. But by then that opportunity had passed, and hopefully next time I will be reminded sooner. You know. Also, one of the other scriptures is that, you know, how can it be possible that you can praise God and then say such nasty things out of your mouth? And I remember that verse. I'm reminded of that verse, but usually it's like 30, 40 seconds after I've said something stupid. But I'm working on it. Anyway, so we want to take the lessons of Jesus and the teachings of Scripture and integrate them into our lives so that when we're called upon, we can give an answer for the things that we believe. And when we call upon them ourselves, because like I said, it's easy to have hope when everything's going right. It's not easy. And it's easy to have faith when everything's going right. And it's not until you have something go wrong that you get to test your faith. And as one clergy said yesterday, when it comes to grief is the cost of love. If you didn't love, you couldn't grieve. And God knows this, and so he has made a way for that grief to be temporary, so that at some point we will be free of it. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your Son that you gave us to teach us how to live the way you would like us to. We thank you for your Spirit, which reminds us of all those things that you've taught us. And we thank you that you forgive us when we sometimes don't get it quite right. In Jesus' name, amen.